Welcome to the Total Wealth Academy radio show, where wealth includes much more than just money. It includes family, fitness, romance, and all the other parts of a balanced life. Listen and learn how 70% of the millionaires in America made their money using real estate. Now your host, real estate investor and consultant, Steve Davis.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Total Wealth Academy radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis, where, as always, we're here working on improving our financial IQ. Total Wealth Academy is an education. It's really a wealth coaching and consulting program for people who are not in the financial position they want to be in, and they really want to learn how to build a second stream of income, which really is the only business model that works in today's environment where they've pretty much done away with pensions. We teach people and walk them step by step through owning all types of real estate, single family, duplexes, triplexes, fourplexes, apartment complexes, self-storage, you name it. Anything that produces cash flow, that's that second stream of income. And we work with people at every level. People come here who have bad credit, no money. They start out by wholesaling. People with a little bit of money can start flipping right away. People with, you know, 70 grand or more can go straight to passive investing, and everything in between. And of course, we have people come here with 4, 5, 6, 7, one person with 20 million bucks, they just wanted to invest with our investors. Today I want to talk about something. There's a lot of talk. I don't know if it's just people being mean or rude, but people will say, well, most landlords are slumlords. And this is the farthest from the truth that you could possibly get. Are there slumlords out there? Yes. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to explain where slumlords come from so that it never happens to you. When I say that, a lot of people say, well, it could never happen to me because I'm not a slumlord scumbag type person. Well, that's not where slumlords come from, except in rare cases. Yes, there are a few slumlords that are just bad people. They really are. They don't care about their tenants. They're just in it for themselves. They've got the scarcity mentality. There's no other way to put it. They just don't care about other people. So they steal from the deal. They don't put any money into maintenance or rehab. But if you go through an actual analysis of a slumlord management style compared to someone who does care about their tenants, does care about the community, does care about the property, do you know they make more money than a slumlord? The slumlord business model is a quick fix. Yeah, you make some money, but you do nothing for the community, nothing for your tenants, nothing for your employees, nothing for your contractors. It helps nobody but you in that scenario. And you make a lot less money than you would if you did it the principally centered, abundance mentality, correct way. But those type people are very, very rare. And part of the reason they're rare is because nobody wants to do business with them. You think, well, I'm going to be a slumlord. Yeah, but no bank's going to loan to you because you're a creep in every part of your life. Investors aren't going to want to invest with you because who you are speaks so loudly they can't hear what you say. So it's actually more challenging to be a slumlord than it is to do the right things. Because when you're principally centered and you're truly focused on all the stakeholders in the deal, and I'll explain why that's important in a moment, it's easy to find people to do business with you. Everybody wants to do business with you because you're a good person. You're good to deal with. You're a win-win negotiator, not a win-lose negotiator. So let's talk about where slumlords come from. And this applies to single family, apartment complexes, business buildings, self-storage, RV parks. I see this, in fact, probably the first five or six apartment complexes that I bought from slumlords. But what I found was they weren't snidely whiplashes. They weren't, you know, sitting in front of a fireplace, sipping brandy and smoking cigars and talking about ripping people off. These were good families that ended up slumlords. And the reason they did is because they didn't know what they were doing. In every single case, being, you know, an executive in a real estate investor club, I would ask them, within minutes of meeting them, yeah, what courses did you take? What real estate investor club are you a member of? Trying to find out if they knew what they were doing. Do you know that in every case, those five or six apartments, they all had the same answer. I didn't take a course, and I'm not a member of a real estate investor club. So, we'll take a 22 unit that I bought. I won't mention their names because they really were good people. We'll just call them Mr. and Mrs. Smith. So I meet Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and we tour the property. It's 30 or 40% vacant, needs new roofs, maybe 20% of the ACs work. Now remember, it's 60% occupied and only 20% of the ACs work. The asphalt, it was rubble in the parking lot. Just a mess. This deal had more hair on it than any other deal I've ever done. And they were just so kind, nice people. They knew their tenants. But they didn't take care of them. And I remember remarking to myself, man, if they just take care of their tenants, they could turn this place around in no time because of the location, the style property it was, and so on. Oh, we got to go to break. When we come back from the break, I'm going to share with you who the stakeholders are in a deal and why you don't want to prioritize any of them dramatically more than the other. That'll make sense when we come back from the break. This is the Total Wealth Academy radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis. Thanks for listening.
That it's normal to lose money in a down market. That's just not true. Hi, I'm Steve Davis, CEO of Total Wealth Academy. Our clients make money in both the up and down markets while creating a lifetime income stream with passive real estate investing. If you have $100,000 or more to invest, you should consider this to protect and grow your money. To find out more, please attend our free sample class live or online. Visit TotalWealthAcademy.com. That's TotalWealthAcademy.com and click the free sample class button. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Total Wealth Academy radio show. I'm your host, Steve Davis, and we're talking about where slumlords come from. And it's not what you expect. It's not just some sleazeball that doesn't care about other people. Those are there, but they're very rare. No, the slumlord is you and I, and a lack of knowledge. And that's it. When I met Mr. and Mrs. Smith, they told me that they had run, I don't know, you know, it's been 30 years ago, but I think it was somewhere around 30 or 40 single-family houses. And so they arrogantly said to themselves, if we can run 20 or 30 houses, certainly we can run a 22-unit apartment. You've got to understand, apartments don't run like single family at all. It's a totally different business model. It was the same thing that happened to me when I bought my first 10 unit. I arrogantly said I can run a 10 unit apartment because I've run 20, 30, 40 houses before. I was wrong. And I did something dumb when my mentor backed out of the deal. I went ahead and closed the deal, and I didn't go take a course on managing apartments. You know, I got lazy, arrogant, and greedy. I didn't want to spend the 20 or 30 grand on the course. So anyway, I'm talking to the Smiths. They go, look, we ran 30 or 40 houses. We thought we could run this. It just hasn't worked out very well. We're older, we want to retire, so we're going to go ahead and sell it. So I write them the offer and buy the property. Do you know that I profited from that deal 2 months after I bought it? They had owned it for 5 years and never had a profit. Never had a profit. 2 months after I owned it, I had a profit. Wasn't much, you know, maybe a grand or two, but I got it up and cash flowing. Why? Because I finally took the course. You know, ponied up my money and took the course. So let's talk about who the stakeholders are first. Then we'll talk about the huge mistake that Mr. and Smith, Mrs. Smith made that cost them hundreds of thousands of dollars. But the stakeholders are first, and let's assume each of you, I don't care whether you've got the money or not, pretend like you do, and you go out and buy a 200, 500 unit apartment complex. Who are the stakeholders in that deal? Well, you are, of course. What about your investors, your partners that helped you put up the down payment? They're stakeholders. Then the other big one, the tenants. The tenants are stakeholders in the deal as well. Then you've got your employees. They're stakeholders in the deal. You've got your contractors, your roofers, your AC guys. They're stakeholders in the deal. And when you're talking about 200 units, 500 units, does it make sense when I say that the community you're in is a stakeholder as well? In other words, if you let that thing turn into a slum, it hurts the community, doesn't it? But if you make it nice, in a good place, safe place for people to live, that affects the community as well. So you basically got six major stakeholders. There are others, but I'm just going to deal with them. You, your investor partners, the tenants, the employees, the contractors, and the community itself. Now, what most people would do, and what a slumlord would do, is they would say, I'm the number one stakeholder. I'm the most important. Do you see what happens when you do that? You're not taking care of your investors. You're not taking care of your tenants, employees, contractors, or community. You're thinking about yourself at all times. What's in it for you? And what happens is, your other stakeholders become disassociated. they feel dejected. Next thing you know, your vacancy's up 10%. Your contractors don't want to show up and work for you. Your employees start leaving. It doesn't work. So there's another style person who goes, my investors are the most important. They are the most important. And they prioritize them. So they don't do all the maintenance that they should to keep the cash flow high. They don't do the CapEx. They just steal from the deal to keep their investors happy. That doesn't work either. Now, most of you, after thinking about this and listening to me, are going, I figured it out. It's the tenants. They're the most important stakeholder. That doesn't work either. If you make the employees the most important, that doesn't work. If you make your contractors the most important, that doesn't work. If you make the community, that doesn't work. What works is making them all equal. All of them should be considered in every decision that you make about the deal, because every decision you make affects all of them. And you can irritate a group. You could alienate a group, discourage a group, and the next thing you know, your business is falling apart. You can't figure out why. It's because you prioritized somebody and ignored somebody else. Now, the one thing I will tell you is this. I prioritize the tenants, but only a little bit. It's not like everything is for the tenant. I do everything for the tenant. No. If I've got 10 different stakeholders, the tenant gets 15% of the attention. The other stakeholders get 9.5 or whatever that comes out to equal 100%. See, it's not that big a difference. But what I learned was that by focusing on the tenant just a little bit more than everybody else, everybody else got taken care of by default. By default. If I take care of my tenants and I have 93, 94, 95% occupancy in my 500-unit apartment complex, do you see that the investors get taken care of? That I get taken care of? The employees, the contractors get taken care of? And, of course, the community. So, but again, it's not a major, oh, the tenants are God, whatever they want, I give them. I'm not like that. I take care of my tenants. I make sure I have a safe, clean, functional place to live, something they can have pride in. You know, I love Bruce Peterson, the apartment guy. You can Google that and find him. Bruce Peterson, the apartment guy. He literally, this is how good a guy this guy is. When he shows pictures of some of the apartments he bought and how bad the living conditions were for the previous tenants, he'll tear up. He'll tear up. And then when he shows you the after pictures where he completely rehabbed it, made it a beautiful place to live, he just believes that no matter your socioeconomic status, that you deserve a good, clean, well-managed, nice place to live. His he probably puts a little more emphasis on the tenant than I do, but he's still balanced. He's still looking out for his investors, still looking out for his employees, still looking out for his contractors. But his main focus is the tenant. Again, it's not 50% tenant and 10% you, 10% investor. They're all very close. But push the tenant on a little bit of a pinnacle. Is that right way to say it? And what happens is, by doing that, all the rest of the people get their money. Which that's what every other stakeholder except the tenant, how do they measure their success? How much money they make. So by taking care of the tenant, getting the occupancy up, getting that payment up, those people get taken care of. We'll talk more after the break here on the Total Wealth Academy Radio Show. I am your host, Steve Davis. Thanks for listening. If you have a financial planner, ask them these two questions. One, will I lose money in a down market? Two, do I still pay you if I lose money? If the answer to either question is yes, fire them and come see us. Our clients make money in both the up and down markets and create a lifetime income stream with passive real estate investing. To find out more, please attend our free sample class live or online. Visit TotalWealthAcademy.com and click the free sample class button. That's TotalWealthAcademy.com. Thank you. Welcome back to the Total Wealth Academy Radio Show. I am your host, Steve Davis, where we're talking about where slumlords come from. And I hope I made the point clear without it being irritating or insulting, but they're you and I. If we go into a deal and we don't know what we're doing, we arrogantly jump into it without educating ourselves first, it's going to turn into a slum. And here's the number one mistake I see: not taking the rehab money in up front and trying to eke the repairs out of the cash flow. What happens is you'll never have any cash flow because you're constantly doing the repairs. You'll get negged out because you got no cash flow. And nobody ever seems to do the math. You know, let's say this deal should have cash flowed the way they were managing it, around $3,000 a month. Well, the thing needed $70,000 in rehab. So let me grab my handy dandy calculator and just divide it. $70,000 divided by $3,000 a month. That's 2 years of cash flow. That means they're not going to make any profit for 2 years. Can you see why people say, oh, real estate doesn't work, it's negative, it's tenant, all it is tenants, toilets, and taxes, or whatever? No, you just did it wrong. See, when I bought it, we took the $70,000 in up front. The minute I bought it, we replaced the asphalt. We replaced the roofs. We put in 18 ACs or 17 ACs, whatever we're missing. And suddenly, everybody wants to live there. You know, we went from 50, 60% occupancy to 90 plus percent occupancy. No, I take that back. We had 100 plus percent. And you say, how could you have 100 plus percent? Because people would move out on the, pay their rent for the whole month, move out on the 15th. Their cousin would move in on the 16th and pay the rent for the half of the month. There were several years where I collected over 100% of gross rental income. I hope that makes sense to you. But why? Because we took the rehab in up front. We didn't eke the cash flow out of it, the repairs out of the cash flow. We repaired everything up front, and that's what we do to this day because it's the only effective way to do it. So in my opinion, and this is debatable, that's the number one mistake that I see new real estate investors make. Not taking the money, whether it's single family or a 500 unit apartment or 400 doors of storage, take the rehab money in up front. Make sure your loan includes money for the rehab and get that rehab done in 2 or 3 months, not 2 years. And you'll start cash flowing almost immediately. So this particular deal, let me do the math here, 22 units, and I think we got it to $650 a month. Yeah, about $14,000. I think it's been so long, I'm sorry. But we were making $4,000 or $5,000 a month off of that deal in cash flow after I got it stabilized, which only took 6 months at the most. Like I said, within 2 months we were full, but we didn't have full rents yet because we were discounting to get people to move in and giving first month free, things like that. But by the end of 6 months, we had everybody in there, most of them at the new rent rates. I made a couple grand the second month, a little bit more than that the third month, a little bit more than that the fourth month, the fifth month. And by the end of a year, we had all 22 units at full price, which was around $650. That thing cash flowed like a maniac. Now, here's the second biggest mistake I think that people who don't own, who haven't educated themselves, make. They run comparable sales to determine the value of their little apartment complex or big apartment complex. Comparables are important, but not as important as net operating income. See, they sold me that complex. I know, remember this is 30 years ago. 10 grand a unit. Now, many of you, your jaw is on the floor. Pick up your jaw. Did you know that probably the first 5 or 6 apartment complex I bought were between $10,000 and $15,000 a unit? Back then, that was it. Now we're paying $65,000, $75,000, $85,000, $95,000, $105,000, $125,000 a unit. But they sold that to me way, way below what it was worth. Way below what it was worth. If you go and take the $5,000 a month cash flow we had, which is $60,000 a year, and divide it by 0.06, a 6 cap rate, that thing was worth $1 million by the time I was done with it, and I paid $220,000 for it. Do you think they might have sold it to me too cheap? They did, because they didn't educate themselves first. They knew little to nothing about apartments and commercial real estate. So I was able to buy it for $220,000, put $70,000 in it. Let's say I had $300,000 in it total, counting closing and holding costs. I got $300,000 in it. At the end of 1 year, it's now worth $1 million. That's not a bad return. In 1 year, I turned $300,000 into $1 million. 1 year. But it was because I knew what I was doing. See, when I bought the 10 unit, I didn't know what I was doing. I understood to take the rehab in it up front because I'd already learned that from single family. That's one thing that's common between commercial and single family, that you always,
always take the rehab in up front. But when I sold it, guess how I sold it? Based off of comparable sales. I sold it for $349,000 less than it was worth. So let's be honest. I lost $349,000. I made $150,000 profit, but I should have made $490,000 because I wouldn't spend that $20,000, $30,000, or I can't remember how much the course was. If I'd have spent that $20,000 or $30,000, I'd have made another $349,000 just with that little information that the value of commercial real estate, apartment complexes, is based off of net operating income and the capitalization rate. So, again, the lesson is this. Slumlords are not always terrible people. In fact, I think that's really, really rare. It's almost always good people who get a little arrogant, a little lazy, a little greedy. They buy an apartment without knowing what they're doing, and they run it into the ground, and it becomes a slum. So keep that in mind. Make sure if you're going to invest in commercial real estate, you take a course on commercial real estate. Learn the ins and outs before you ever start putting your money up into that type of deal. We teach those classes at Total Wealth Academy. So let's get to answering some of your questions, because I got quite a four emails here. Phone lines are open, 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV, or email me. It's steve@totalwealthacademy.com, steve@totalwealthacademy.com. Okay, let's go to this first question. Want to find out how to wholesale in Texas while I live in Canada. I don't know why you would want to do that. Are you wanting to sell Texas real estate to Canadians? It doesn't say here, so I'm not sure which direction you want to sell Canadian real estate to Texans, or you want to sell Texas real estate to Canadians. Not sure. Both places, you're in Calgary. Don't know a lot about Calgary. I do have a good handle on Toronto. I just think you should be wholesaling deals in Canada to Canadians. That's going to be your easiest, most effective way to do it. Otherwise, I really don't know how to wholesale across country borders. So sorry, I can't be more help, Will. All right, we'll talk more after the break here on the Total Wealth Academy Radio Show. I am your host, Steve Davis. Thanks for listening. Hi, this is Steve Davis of the Total Wealth Academy Radio Show. Most people think they need hundreds of thousands of dollars to successfully invest in real estate. That's simply not true. If you have $100,000 or more, you can begin passive investing today. No worrying with contractors or tenants, and you get all the benefits of real estate investing. To find out more, please attend our free sample class live or online. Visit TotalWealthAcademy.com. That's TotalWealthAcademy.com, and click the free sample class button. Thank you. Welcome back to the Total Wealth Academy Radio Show. I am your host, Steve Davis, where it's time to start answering your questions. If you've got a question for me about anything to do with building a second stream of income for yourself and your family with real estate, please give me a call. If you've got a fear
an insecurity, something tells you you can't do it, it's too hard, it's not worth it. Let me know what that is, and I'm going to share with you what I know from my past experience that may help you get over that problem. 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV, or email me. It's steve@totalwealthacademy.com, steve@totalwealthacademy.com. Oh, I know, I was supposed to tell you this Friday. I'm teaching our goal setting workshop tomorrow evening from 6:30 to 8:30. We will have champagne and snacks afterwards to celebrate graduating and getting your goals written down. But this is probably the most important and I believe the most popular class that we have for the year. No exaggeration. I want you to think about this. Would you build a house without drawing a blueprint first? Would you build a house without drawing a blueprint first? Well, if you did, you would have major problems, wouldn't you? You'd have to change the design multiple times. You'd have to do expensive change orders with your contractor. It would probably double the cost of the house with all your mistakes and all the dumb things that you do when you don't have a written plan. And we do that because our house is important, right? It's important. It's expensive. It's important. Isn't your life important? But how many of you don't have your goals written down? You're just going through life. Wherever the wind blows, that's where you go. It doesn't work. The best you can hope for is get to the wrong place, or you're just going to end up in any place that the world wants you because you don't have your goals written down. The other thing that people don't realize is, and there's different statistics on this, I'm just quoting some of them that I've heard. People who write their goals down are 10 times more likely to achieve them. 10 times. You should also be aware that if your goals aren't written down, but you have a few goals, do you know that only the right side of your brain is working on those goals, the creative side? You haven't even begun to incorporate the left or logical side. The wonderful thing about the event tomorrow night is we're going to write down our goals. You're going to leave that class with a set of written goals. You're going to double the amount of brain power that you have working on those goals. Because if your goals are not written down, again, you're only using half of your brain, the right or creative side. When you write them down, the left or logical side gets involved and you double your brain power. Seems simple, but it is devastating when it comes to your likelihood of success when compared to people who don't have their goals written down. So, if you would like to attend that workshop, all you need to do is go to Total Wealth Academy / let me make sure I got this right, goal setting. Yes, it's there. March 22nd, Tuesday, March 22nd, 6:30 to 8:30. Just go to totalwealthacademy.com/goal setting. It's a free event. Members, non-members, guests, anybody. I love teaching this. I will give you a warning. One of the parts of a balanced life is romance. This is a frank discussion on marriage and sex, so we will be talking about that in the workshop. But I highly recommend this because you'll be hanging out with like-minded people, all with the same goal, to get their goals written down, to improve their chances of achieving their goals, and to clarify what they really want out of life. Most people never clarify what they want out of life. And I'm not talking about 51% most. I'm talking about 90%. I used to know the statistic. It's only like 4 or 5% of Americans have their goals written down. Yet guess who gets all the results? The top 4 or 5% of the nation. So come on in tomorrow evening, 6:30 to 8:30. Go to, if you want to reserve a seat for you, a family member, guest, whatever, go to totalwealthacademy.com/goal setting. totalwealthacademy.com/goal setting. Okay, let's get back to our question and answer. If you got a question for me, give me a call, 281-558-5738. 281-558-KSEV. Or email me, it's steve@totalwealthacademy.com. steve@totalwealthacademy.com. All right, this next question comes from Brian. What do you do with your security deposits? Your security deposits need to be kept in a separate savings account from your rental income. It's you can use any bank anywhere. Wherever your bank account is for your rental income, keep a separate savings account and keep those deposits in that savings account. You can never use the excuse, I'd give him his security deposit, but I just don't have it. You will get fried in a courtroom. Always put your security deposits in a separate savings account and do not remove them until the person has moved out and either refund it to them or refund them a portion and move the balance into your checking account for whatever repairs you had to do after they moved in. Remember, the security deposit is the most misunderstood part of a lease. And part of that stems from people will make the security deposit the same as the rent. So as a new tenant, it's a year after you signed the lease, you think you've paid your last month's rent. Don't ever let the security deposit be equal to 1 month's rent. Always make the security deposit $200 to $300 more than the rent so they don't confuse it with the last month's rent. Then, when you're signing the lease, point to it. When you get to that part of the lease, point to the security deposit. Your rent is $1,500, your security deposit was $1,700. This is not the last month's rent. When they agree, have them initial beside it. This will eliminate a lot of problems, including the one where the tenant goes, man, I paid the last month's rent. And by the way, when they say that to you, what do you do immediately after that phone call? File for eviction and get them to pay the rent. Okay, phone lines are open, 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV. All right, well, actually, we've only got a minute left, so no more calls. Please, if you've got a question for me, email me, Steve@TotalWealthAcademy.com. Steve@TotalWealthAcademy.com. Martin, Simon, I got your emails, and I will email you right after the show. Both of your questions are easy to answer, so I'll just email you the answer. Sorry I couldn't get to it live on the air. All right, thanks everybody for listening. Again, if you want to come tomorrow night to the Goal Setting Workshop, TotalWealthAcademy/goal setting.
You've been listening to the Total Wealth Academy radio show. Please remember that this show is for entertainment purposes only and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investing advice. Always get a professional opinion before making any investment decisions. To find out more about coaching and consulting at Total Wealth Academy, visit TotalWealthAcademy.com and attend one of our free sample classes on real estate investing. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.